One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Go sign up for the newsletter. Go check out my dates. I will be in, Phoenix in March. I'm in, not Edmonton. I'm in Vancouver in April. Headline in La Jolla Comedy Store also in March. Go to ryansickler.com. Check out the dates. And the podcast here, the honeydewpodcast.com, social media links, sign up for your mom's house, YouTube page, all that stuff there. And every week I say thank you. Thank you for the messages. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing your pain. Thank you for laughing at it. And that's what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And this week's storyteller, I'm super stoked to have on. First time on Honeydew. Been on the Crab Feast. First time on a Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris DiStefano, y'all.
Yes. Thank you.
Christy D.
I'm happy to be here. That's a
Christy.
Dope sweatshirt.
Thank you, man.
I like it. I like what it's about.
I like yours, too.
Yeah, I appreciate Warriors.
That's a Mitchell and Ness right there.
Mitchell and Ness, old school. I'm a Chris Mullin fan.
Are you?
So Chris Mullin is old school Warrior stuff. Yeah, Chris Mullin is a Brooklyn. He's a hero in Brooklyn.
Is he?
You know, he just did coke and made the Dream Team.
That is the American Dream.
He was coked out of his face out there in Brooklyn, but my man did not miss. And he was on the original Dream Team. Yeah, so he's a fan of ours.
Yeah. Will you please, before we get into anything, please promote everything you'd like.
Thank you. So History Hyenas podcast, historyhyenas.com for everything we're doing. All my dates, chrisdcomedy.com. I'll be at Hilarities in Cleveland, February 28th to 29th. And then I'll be at the Victoria Theater in Newark, New Jersey, April 18th. And April 20th. And I'll also be at Laugh Boston in April. I think it's the third weekend in April. I'll be out there. Check the dates, chrisdcomedy.com. I'll be all over. I'll be in Vancouver, too, first weekend of April.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, I'll be there. Right. Yeah. But go see Ryan. If you're going to see anybody, go see fucking Ryan.
I'm a come piece later of shit. And see me.
Just remember, I'm garbage.
Go see us both.
Yeah, go see us both.
That's a nice April up there.
Yeah, that is a nice April. I've never been to Vancouver.
Yeah, I haven't either. It's my first time up there. I'm excited to go. Yeah.
It's going to be great. We're just a couple of dads going to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, I love it, too.
I love that you're a dad.
I love that. I mean, being a dad is like the only thing that keeps me grounded in this. Like when I listen to my peers bitch and complain about not getting some bullshit thing, I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like you're so dumb to me. Like when I listen to people talk, my peers complain about the bullshit things they're complaining about. I'm like, what? You're worried because you didn't get a set on the Tonight Show? Shut up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. Have a child.
It's all perspective.
Yeah, man. Like,
it is.
But like once you have a child, you realize that. You realize that it's like life is just like, hey, my kid is my life is family, you know, my child number one.
Yeah.
And then my spiritual and mental and physical health number two, and then career is three. I would never.
It has to be that way.
I would never sacrifice. I mean, it's not even a thought. It's like, hey, my daughter's always first. I would never do anything, I would rather be go back to doing physical therapy. You know, then miss an extended period of time.
You were a physical therapist?
I was a physical therapist for fucking 3 years.
Oh, we're going to come back and talk about that.
Yeah.
I agree. You asked me if I was doing a spot tonight, and I was like, no, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go put my daughter to bed tonight, and that's what I'm going to do tonight, and I can't wait to do it.
It's beautiful.
But like I you know, Steve Simone does a lot of work for kids, and I went and donated some blood for Children's Hospital, and I remember seeing all the sick kids and everything. And like my daughter's mom, she'll be like, oh, she's such a picky eater and everything. I go, you know what though? She's fucking healthy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If our biggest complaint is that our daughter doesn't eat broccoli,
right,
then who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it's like,
and get it out of your mind too. Like, I don't care if she eats breakfast for dinner, but if it's vegetable or fruit and everything in there, yeah, I don't care. Just put healthy food in the system right now.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do is get healthy food in the system. That's I don't it. Care if it's keto care. Or not
yes.
keto.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
Or when
shit.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't care.
If whatever. Yeah. I, my daughter doesn't need to be ripped.
No.
She just needs to get her protein and vegetables. And yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to eat healthy ass food. Yeah.
All right, so obviously we are both probably trying to correct our upbringing. Sure. So going back to, if you haven't heard Chris's episode of The Crafties, you got to go fucking listen. It's a great episode, but you talked a lot about your dad. Yeah. and just some fantastic stories. So just take me back a little bit to growing up, what it was like for you, because do you have brothers, sisters?
Only child.
Okay.
I'm an only child. My parents, so my father is like a legit criminal, like not like... Mm. In and out of jail. I'm talking about like a career, federally prosecuted, federally convicted, like legit inmate.
And is he still in prison or is he out?
No, he's out. He's okay. Been out. And my mother's like an Ivy League educated, sophisticated, articulate woman. They met at a walkathon, as you do. Yeah. My mom was walking in the walkathon, raising money for cancer or something. She's just a great person, my mom. And my dad was doing community service on the side of the walkathon.
Is that for real?
I swear to God.
I'm sure you said this before and I forgot.
Yeah, he was like in an orange jumpsuit for what she says, picking up garbage. And he started flirting with her. And she wanted to fling with a bad boy. So they had me really like quickly, like 2-3 weeks into the relationship. Like,
really?
Yeah. And then my mother's whole... And that's why it's interesting. Because my mother's the one who, like I said, was highly educated. You know, my dad was this criminal in and out of jail. My mother would always tell me, like, hey, do not make the mistakes I made. Do not go into a relationship prematurely or have a child prematurely. And I did everything she asked me. I never did drugs. I never got thrown out of school. I got a doctorate degree. Like, I pursued education.
You're a doctor?
I mean, I have a doctorate degree. Yeah, but it's like technically.
As close as anybody in comedy's
got. Bro, yeah. I can massage your elbow. Yeah. So, you know, she told me. She was like, do not, you know, and I passed all those tests. Every single one of those things, like she was like, I remember being 29, 30 years old. And she was like, wow, like you did everything, you know, pursued the career in comedy, have your education. And it was great. And she was like, oh, I can rest and breathe easy. And then, you know, about 3 months later, the second date I went on with this girl, she conceived the baby. So I did exactly, she conceived my daughter. So I did exactly what.
Second date.
Exactly what my mother did and what she tried to protect me against doing. I just did anyway. Because it's just like. And it's like, but that's a lesson where it's like, hey, if it's in the cards, it's in the cards. I don't regret anything, mm-hmm. but it was wild to like, you know, I mean, I didn't know my daughter's mom at all. It was the second date and then she conceived a baby. And then it's like all these red flags and all these things that would be normal deal breakers. It's like, you got to find ways around because, you know, I'm trying to be there. I want to make a, you know, wholesome family for my kid as long as I could. And it wound up not working out. We're the healthiest we've ever been. Me and her mom is right now as co-parents. It just became like, hey, we were maybe meant to be in each other's lives just to create our daughter. Because now my kid's mom has a new boyfriend and it's been going on for like a year and he's a great dude. And I see how great he like can deal with everything and is just accepting of all her circumstances. And I'm like, yo, this is the dude for you. Because he's able to deal with the shit I wasn't able to deal with. So now it's like, you know, there's no ego. I'm just like, as long as everyone loves my daughter, and my daughter is surrounded by love, we're all good.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at now.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's all good.
But what was your childhood like?
My childhood?
Yeah.
My childhood was...
Because you live with your mom, though, right? Obviously.
I grew up with my mom. And
you had to, though, right?
Yeah, no choice. Well, first of all, when I was like a little kid, like, you know, when I was like 8, 9 years old, my dad was in jail at times. So I remember...
And were you told that or was he working at nights or whatever?
Well, no, my mother's like Irish Catholic, so she like loves to push shit down. So she told me, she would tell me, we would go visit my father and she'd be like, come on, we're going to go upstate camping. Your dad's up there. And I'm like, what? Why am I smuggling Oreos in my butt? You know, like... You know, it's like my dad told me to just get Oreos through the security, so no one's going to cavity search an 8-year-old. You know,
hilarious.
So I just didn't know what was going on, but you know, but I remember just visiting him, and it was like cool, you know, but you know, see my dad and stuff. But I just grew up with my mom, and my dad was always real fun. Like I have a fun dad. Like, you know, he would take me to Yankee games, and you know, I wasn't allowed to drink soda by my mom's house, and as soon as we would turn the corner, my dad would just hike, you know, jack me up with Mountain Dew. I remember we were at Dwight Gooden's perfect game in May of no-hitter in May of 1996. We were at that game, and it was like my mother, we were supposed to leave the game after like the fifth inning because I had a science project due the next day. So my dad was like, yeah, we'll leave after the fifth inning. We'll be home by 9:30. He can do his project, blah, 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 blah. But then it's a no-hitter in the fifth inning. So my dad's like, yeah, we're not leaving. And, you know, yeah. It's 1996, so there's no cell phones.
Right,
it's just, there's no way to get a judge. He's like, we're just going to deal with this shit. Whatever your mother has to say, we're just going to deal with it. Dwight's pitching a no-no. You know? So we got to be there. Yeah. So we're in, and then so we're, that's like crazy. And that's why, I mean, for a 12-year-old kid, I'm fucking like, wow, I'm out. It's midnight. I'm still out. It's like, I'm crazy. I'm like, my dad's a man. And then it was like the seventh, eighth inning, and we had like really bad seats, you know, upper deck. I mean, I thought they were fine, but like my dad was like, no, it's a no hitter. He's like, I'm going to get my son down behind home plate. So we go down, there's a security guard right behind home plate. And my dad sees a couple of empty seats, I guess, in like the second or third row. And he was telling me the whole time when we were walking down, he's like, just do everything I tell you to do. That's all you got. Just do what I tell you to do. So I was like, okay. So he goes, he says, security guard's like, oh, my son, you know, Dwight's pitching a no-no. Can, you know, I just want to get my kid. It's history. Can we just get him, you know, right there? It was before 9/11. We're like, that could happen. Like, you didn't have to scan tickets. Nobody, it was like still like, nobody was really walking around scared in New York. It was like, yeah, I'm a kid, fine. But this security guard, for whatever reason, was just being a dick. He was like, nope, you need a ticket. He was like, come on, man. I mean, my kid's, you know, whatever, 12 years old. And he's like, nope. So we're waiting there. And then my dad just says, security guard. He goes, yeah, but my son has special needs. Yeah. And I looked up at him. My dad, and I was like, my jaw was like open, and I looked at the security guard, I swear, and the security guard was like, all right, have a good game. He was like, all right, have a good game. And then he went like that to my head, like gave me like a noogie. So I was like, and then that fucked with me, because I'm like, yo, I'm happy we got the seats, but I'm like, yo, do I have special needs? Is that another thing my mom lied to me about? Because I got a fucked up haircut, you know? You know, because my boys would make fun of me about getting a mushroom. They're like, oh, look at number 7 at the lemon tree bullshit haircut. And I'm like, yo, maybe I do have fucking special needs. And then I remember we were sitting there, and Mr. Perfect, the wrestler Mr. Perfect, was in the row right in front of us. And my dad was trying to get him to autograph my ticket, and he would not autograph my ticket, man. Like, he just wouldn't. People would just be in dicks back then. And then my dad was like cursing at him. Like, it was like a crazy fight.
During the game,
like not a fist fight, but my dad was like, you suck. And he kept calling him Perfect. He was dropping the mister. He was like, you suck, Perfect. You suck. And it was crazy. Like, people were laughing. But I remember even 12 years old. Dude, one time, this is another thing. I was like 7 years old, man. And I know this happened. I was 7 years old, and we went to my cousin's recital. So it's like all 7, 8-year-old, you know, like it's a girl recital, whatever. Family's there, packed out auditorium. My dad took me there. It was just me and my dad. We had to watch my cousin, whatever. And he didn't want to be there. He was like, fucking, you know, whatever. And the instructor of the ballet school was like this really beautiful, like 25, 26. Like, she was a hot girl, hot woman. And like, we're just sitting back there. And I could tell he's 10. He's like, wow, this girl's got some fucking body. And like, saying shit like that. And I don't know why he did this, but like, we were in like the very last row.
She's 10.
No.
Oh.
No, the girls, the kids who were dancing around were like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. But the instructor,
okay,
the instructor is a grown woman.
All right.
And then the girls, you know, the curtains close, and it's just the instructor on stage, and she's like saying, she's like, you know, it's like pin drop silence, and she's about to say, you know, for the intermission, she's like, you know, refreshments during the intermission, and my dad just yells, show your bush.
Yeah. Come on,
I swear.
Man.
He yells, show your bush. I swear. And
how many people would you say
like
are
400? Yo, and we were in the dead last row, man, row Z. And he yelled, "Show your bush," and it was fucking wild. Yeah, and I remember like,
"Show your bush,"
and he didn't even like look at me or look around. He just like said it to say it, and then he was like, "Come on, I'll buy everybody candy," you know? Yeah, I swear, man. That's the kind of like the kind of dude my dad is. Like even right now, I could tell you the kind of dude he is. Like 3 weeks ago, man. 3 weeks ago, he had to go to.
Wait, how old is he now?
Right now, he's 75 years old.
Okay.
Diabetic, you know, 300 pounds, doesn't give a fuck. Christmas, you know, it was Christmas Day. The day after December 26th, this dude's eating leftovers. He ate, half a tray of lasagna. He's a diabetic. Right in front of him. It was me, my dad, and my stepmom. Half a tray of lasagna in one sitting. Three cannolis, a cup of coffee, and half a penne alla vodka with grilled chicken. And I was like, yo, dad. Slow down. And he was like, please. I didn't know I had a gay son. And then he's just shoveling
you're
more.
You're gay because of that.
Because I told him to like watch his heart health.
You're gay.
He's like, I didn't know my son blows guys. As he's just shoveling the pasta in his mouth. Fast forward 10 hours. Guy has to get rushed to the fucking emergency room with congestive heart failure. He's like gargling.
And I'm really did?
I swear to God, man.
On that day.
Yeah, and then he's like like when he talked, because he literally ate himself into congestive heart failure. Like the doctors were like,
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We've rarely ever seen this. This guy ate so much sodium that his body...
He's fucking pussy.
Yeah, and then it was so funny because he's like gargling as he's talking. And even like him, I mean, this guy's got like machines that like he's not out of the woods yet, but he's like talking like he's gargling. He's like, yeah. He's like, I guess I sound gay now. He's like gargling in front of the doctors. And he's like, and the doctors are like, what?
Yeah, like, they don't even know.
He's like talking shit to me laughing. He's like, I sound pretty gay now. Yeah. He's like, well, I swallow some cum. And we're like, Jesus Christ. I swear. Yeah.
75.
Yeah. 75 years old. It's just how he rolls, man.
Oh, God, dude.
It's just how he rolls.
So good.
But there's a lot of lessons to learn from my father.
A lot.
Which is like, my dad was the type of dad, well, I'll say, and, you know, now, of course, me being a father, my dad always had the right intentions, mm-hmm. but the wrong moves. Mm-hmm. So the intention with the Dwight Gooden game was I want to get my son better seats. You know, telling the security guard I got special needs and fucking with me mentally for the next 30 years of my life, that was the wrong move.
Yeah, that was a bad move.
You know? Yeah. Or, I remember one time my mom was dating this guy, and then I was 15 years old. My mom was dating this guy, and he dumped her and cheated on her and started dating the woman who lived directly across the street from our house. And that fucked my mom up. My mom every day was sitting, crying, looking out the window, like whatever. And my dad would come and pick me up Saturday mornings for baseball practice. So he comes Saturday. This had happened the weekend before. Say that happened on a Sunday. So my mom's crying every day. Saturday morning, my mom's sitting out, looking out the window, crying. It's messed up from this breakup. And my dad comes into my room. I guess he had said hello to my mom. And he comes into my room and goes, what's the situation? What's your mother crying for? She's out there. It was funny because he was going back to school to get his GED. And so he was learning like a word of the day. And I don't know why I always remember this. He goes, your mother, she's out there crying like a schizophrenic. I was like, that's not what a schizophrenic would do. Yeah. But I was like, I guess you learned about schizophrenia and what that is. And one of the symptoms may be crying. I was like, it's, you know, good. Bravo. But that's not what schizophrenia. But he said to me, he was like, why is she crying? And I was like, oh, that guy she was dating, Rob, he dumped her. And he's dating the woman who lives directly across the street. And he was like, you going to do something about that? I was like, I'm 15 years old. I have psoriasis. What? Like, I was that kid. You know, I was like that 15-year-old, like, nerdy kid. I was like, I break out in rashes when I have too much, when I think there's a ghost in the house. I'm not going to beat up a grown man. So my dad, this is true. So my dad is like, I'll be right back. I'm going to get us bagels. Don't come outside.
I swear
that's what he said. And I was like, okay, well, now I'm definitely coming outside. So my dad goes across the street, rings the bell, gets this guy Rob.
This is Goodfellas.
Bro, that's exactly what it felt like. Yo, beats the shit out of this guy. I swear, beats the shit out of this guy.
I think you told this on the crab feast.
And he beats the shit out of this guy. And like we run outside, my mother screaming like, "You're gonna kill him! Stop!" And he's like beating the shit out of him, and then he comes across the street, and I'm sitting there like terrified. He's like, "That was your job."
I was like,
"What? I'm 15. I'm not gonna beat up somebody's dad, you know?" And then he just beat his ass, and then he took me back, and we were crossing the Verrazano Bridge, going from Brooklyn back into Staten Island. Like 6 hours later, you know, so the smoke had settled a little bit, and he was like, You know that I shouldn't have done that, right? Is that clear to you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know. Mom knows. The police know.
You should have."
Yeah. He's like, "I'm like, I know, like, because I just want to make sure." He's like, all I was trying to say was protect your mother. Don't be in the room playing video games while she's out there crying. You're the man of the house. Now you got to protect her. I'm like, "Well, you could have just said that. You didn't have to beat up the guy."
Yeah.
And, you know, kick his teeth in. And we had to he got a restraining order against you.
Across the street.
So it's one of those things.
I have to say, like, how did your mom feel about that? Because it's one of those catch-22s. Like,
right,
this guy cares about my feelings enough. I mean, we'll never be together, but he cares about me enough that he doesn't like seeing me hurt, and he hates that someone else fucking did that.
Absolutely. So my mom would always say that, especially when I found myself in a co-parenting relationship. She said, "Do not follow your dad's blueprint exactly." She said, "But what your dad always did have, what I do respect, is he always considered me as your mom still a part of him and a part of his family because I'm the direct link to you." He said, so she was like, "I'd encourage you to do that with your current situation. Like, don't ever talk shit about your kid's mom. Yep. Don't ever disrespect her. Mm-hmm. Don't ever let anybody else disrespect her despite your problems. Especially don't air any dirty laundry out on social media or any of that bullshit, because the only one who's affected is the child."
Yeah.
"And that's the only one I'm trying to protect." So I'm very keen of that. But yeah, my mom at times would be like, not that she was never, you know, romantically interested, but she would always be like, "I like that your dad, you know, cares about us and is protective of us." But I think it was one of those things where, like, my dad, you know, my dad got remarried very young, and my mom, soon after they got divorced, I was like 3 years old when my dad got remarried, and my mom just never got remarried. My mom was kind of, she's one of those like old school ladies. She's like, "If I have a child with someone, no matter what, that's it." Like, she's very Catholic. She's like, "I got divorced. I can't get remarried. I can't do it again." So she had like a couple of, like, you know, boyfriends here and there. But it was nothing ever serious. Where my dad, my stepmom is like, you know, a second mom to me.
They're still together.
Oh, yeah. 32 years. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great. So it was cool to see, you know, how in my one family, like, how, you know, it didn't work out, like what co-parenting looks like, and then what a loving husband and wife relationship looks like.
Yeah.
So that's dope. But right now I'm single as fuck with chlamydia. You know what I mean? I'm drippy, son.
Well, you can get that taken care of pretty quick these days, thank God.
That's antibiotics, man. Got that residual diarrhea.
Get that in there, yeah.
Get that in. No, I don't have it now. I'm clean. Your boy's. I'm actually celibate, 8 weeks. I got a blowy in Denver.
Denver?
As far as PNV, completely celibate, man. And it's good. When you remove that power, and now all my energy is just at my daughter and my career, things been happening.
Yeah.
Like if I would have forgot to fucking reach out to you guys probably even, or try to even, because I was just been focused on, I'm coming out to LA, I want to get pussy. But now I'm like, no, none of that, man. I want to go do all these podcasts. So it's good. Now I'm cut. First time in my life, actually, I'd prefer a girlfriend as opposed to just being single.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be not, yes.
Because I want stability on when my daughter comes to my house. It's like, you know, I got a nice place, but it's like, you know, there's no woman's touch. I got my couch looks like the front seat of a fucking car. I have no plates. You know,
no,
like,
yeah,
my TV is on the floor plugged in. You know, shit like that. Like, yeah. You know, I keep all her toys in a bean bag. Like, you know, like, it's just guy shit. So I want.
I always laugh. I tell her mom, like, look, because I have a nice place and I got a nice room for her. It's all set up. I always say it's her place. I fucking pay for the damn thing.
Right.
And I told her, I was like, look, I already know there's never, no parent's going to let sleepovers happen at the single dad's house and shit. Like, that shit's not happening.
Oh,
it's all going to be done at your house and all that. So
it was funny too. Like, my kid's mom came into my apartment to use the bathroom, you know, to pick up my daughter to use the bathroom like a month ago. And she comes in, she's using the bathroom, and we play a lot. Like, you know, me and my daughter, you know, bath time, whatever. I let her bring all her dolls in there. So she comes out, and my kid's mom comes out with a long ass blonde hair. And she's like, what fucking sluts are you having in the house around my daughter? You're a fucking pig. Because she's like really Puerto Rican and Latina. She's like, you fucking pig. What fucking sluts do you have around my daughter? You're disgusting.
Yeah.
You're a fucking disgusting pig. She's like, get my baby out of here. I'm like, that's Barbie hair, dog. What, I'm yeah. fucking Barbie. I was like, that's Barbie, or it could be Elsa.
Rapunzel.
It's Frozen. Yeah. What are you, stupid? Mm. It's Frozen from the movie. It, I let her play with the dolls in the bathtub, and she's like, yeah, right, you fucking asked. You probably fucking those dolls. I was like, I'm lonely.
I'm lonely.
I was like, you left me. So Elsa's going to get it.
All right, so what... You stay with your mom, but then you ended up in private school, right? It's a Catholic school?
Catholic school, yeah.
But why? Did you ever live with your dad at any point at all?
I never lived with my dad at any point at all.
But was it because he was always in and out of prison?
Not just this,
or was it jail?
The prison happened when I was young. Like, okay. It was, you know, I only have a few memories
but
of
what
it.
Was it he went to prison for?
It was like all like, you know, like racketeering and like, you know, like money laundering. Like, I don't know for sure. I just think he was a bookie. That's what I think it was. And then, you know, when you get like these government sweeps, people get swept out, right. You know? So I think it was shit like that. So, but I would, I live with my mom and my dad would come see me, you know, every weekend and definitely every weekend and usually at least one day during the week. And then I would go with him for the summers on Staten Island. He lived on Staten Island. So, but my mother's all about education. My mother's all about education, and my father's all about sports. So I feel like during, you know, the school months, it was like education, education, education. And then we would play ball with my dad on the weekends and through the summer. So I was able to, you know, push it to, I think, how far I could push it, both academically and athletically. Like, I played basketball in high school, college, a little overseas. And then
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like basketball. Like, basketball was such a part of my life that my friends from my neighborhood who come to see me do comedy can't believe I don't mention my years of playing ball. Because they're like, that was what you were known for. Like, I was in the local newspapers, and I'm the all-time leading scorer in my college.
All right, well, college?
Division III. So there's like a girl on my team and shit, but, you know, like, what can you do? You know, everybody had to have their asthma pumps taped to their shorts, but still, I was dropping buckets on those fools.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I still.
So you were that good, huh?
St. Joseph's College, downtown Brooklyn. Like I said, it's a small Division III school, but, you know.
You still hold the record?
Right now, yeah, I still hold the record.
What was it?
It was like 1,900-something points.
In 3 years,
in
4 years?
In 3 years, only sophomore. I didn't go there when I was a freshman. Okay. I was on the basketball team. So
damn.
Sophomore, junior, senior.
You did it in 3 years. Somebody else took four?
Somebody else took, yeah. I guess if I would have played my freshman year, it would have been over 2,000.
Wow.
But that's all because of my father. Like the same, and I feel like I was able to get my doctorate degree because of my mother. So I feel like as much as I got angry with them individually at so many points in my life, when I look back, I'm like, oh shit, they both had their reasons.
You got the best of both.
For why they were pushing. Yeah. One of them didn't care about sports at all, and I would get really mad at my mom for that. And then my dad would be like, fuck studying, fuck your tests.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to shoot this ball. And I would get kind of anxious about that because I'm like, yo, my mom's going to kill me if I fuck my homework up again. But my dad was like, don't worry. My mom was like, she's an idiot. I was like, she went to Harvard. You know? I was like,
go to prison.
Yeah, your nickname is Tony Balls. You know, my mom literally graduated from Harvard. So it's like, and she was like, yeah, she's dumb. I was like, okay, guy, you have three teeth, you know? So, but it was doing my dad. And my dad was just a wild guy. Like, when I think back about some of the shit he used to do, like, this is dead serious. To practice me shooting high arching jump shots over like big men. Like, he wanted me to mimic practicing the jump shot over like a 6'9", 7-foot guy. He had this broomstick that he would hold up, and it was kind of like in Castaway. Like, he had like a little, he had like a little head on it. Yeah. It was like funny. But then he put a piece of tape down and he wrote Leroy down it. And the stick was Leroy. And I'm like, that's fucked up, you know? I mean, not fucked up, but to him, he's like, yeah, most black guys named their Leroy. I'm like, if it's 1950, like,
yeah.
And I was like, there's no reason to name, it's an inanimate object, man. It doesn't have to have a race.
Right.
But that's just the way my dad is. But my dad, see, that's the interesting thing about like 2020 dynamics and being woke and everything. And I think there's some overcorrectness in the sense that like, they just want to attack people when they come from different, my father just comes from a different time, but he leads with love. For example, in 2012, when Hurricane Sandy ravaged New York City, it fucked Staten Island up bad. Staten Island got like hit hard. People were killed and everything. And especially on the coast, those people, which is mostly Latin American families, their bungalows got destroyed. But my father lived a little inland, so he didn't have any damage. So he rented a U-Haul truck every single day, and would go down and help the families out. He would help them load unload their stuff, do all that. He didn't make an announcement about it. Like, I didn't even know about it. I would call the house and be like, hey, to speak to my stepmom. I was like, hey, is dad around? He's like, oh, no, he's down helping the people at the shore. And I was like, oh, wow. And then he even took two separate families into his home for 2 weeks at a time to get that, because they didn't have a home, get the kids to school, fed them or whatever. So that's a great deed. But the way my dad is, you know, like one of the families, the guy's name was Juan. My dad called him Jose. It's just what it's going to be. And I was like, his name's Juan. He goes, it's all the same shit. I was like, it's not, but okay. And then, you know, he would tell the kids, like, don't steal my silverware.
Yeah.
Like old hack jokes, you know?
Yeah,
he would be like, you know.
Dom Rickles.
Yeah, like shit
Rickles.
Like that, you know? You know, like, I remember, you know, he would be like, who wants to play baseball? And they're like, we don't play that. You know, like things like that. But the family, the Latin American families he took in, like, they're like, they love him. They still keep me cut. They love him. But if like some like social justice warrior today heard my dad say that, they would like want to vilify him. And it's like, yo,
Jose would show the fuck up.
Jose
and be like,
would
listen,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. If he has his papers, I'll call ICE. he better be a fucking citizen. This ain't 2012 anymore, player.
2012.
It's Trump 2020 now. Yeah. So you know. So but. But yeah, my dad's a complicated guy, but I love him. And when I can now sit at a place, being 35, you know, having my own child, I really know what my parents did for me, all the positives and good they did. So I just want that for my daughter with me and her mom. So it's all good.
Are you honest with your daughter about your dad?
Not yet, because just...
I mean, it's all out here anyway. Like, I think of that too. Like, it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ever be able to hide any drug I've done, any fucked up stuff. I've shared it.
Right.
So our kids are going to be able to listen to all this and be like, I know every, they're going to come back and tell me, well, you did ecstasy this many times. Like, oh,
yeah.
Man.
No, my dick is on the internet. You know what I mean? I put it on, videos and podcasts. Like I've shown, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I'll explain that to my daughter and what the times were, and, you know, kind of talk to her about it. And hopefully I have a good enough relationship. Well, the goal is to have a good enough relationship with her where it's like, hey, this is why I did it. Forget the noise of what everybody else said. So I think, you know, I think, with that aspect, it's like, yeah, I'll be responsible for anything I've said or done. And when my daughter asks me that, I'll just be 100% honest with her.
Does your dad, is he in your daughter's life?
Big time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my dad's big time.
So is he a good grandfather?
Oh, he's a great grandfather. Yeah. I mean, the day my daughter was born, May 19th, the day my daughter was born, you know, she's in there, you know, my kid's mom is like in labor, like legs up and everything. And it's just my mom, her mom, and me, you know, whatever. My dad just comes busting in. I'll never forget. I swear to God, dude, comes busting in the New York Post. And he goes, Yankees got fucking rocked last night. We got to trade Sabathia. I swear to God. And I'm like, what? Like literally she's crowning. And she's like, my kid's mom was like, get out. Like, she was like screaming at my dad, rightfully so. And he's like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? And then I'm like, dad, what the hell? Like, you know, and then the baby, baby comes out, you know, I have my beautiful daughter, whatever. I, you know, take a moment, go outside to my dad. We didn't have a gender reveal or anything like that. So we wanted to be surprised and whatever. So I'm like, it's a girl. And he goes, fuck. and I was like, that was his first word after his son told him the greatest news of his life. He goes, fuck. And I was like, what happened? And he goes, I owe your uncle $250 now. And I said, what do you mean? Why would you owe money? He goes, we gambled on your kid's gender. And I'm like, great. So already, this is what my daughter's born into. You're gambling on the gender? He was like, I was sure it was going to be a boy the way she was carrying. I'm like, you're an idiot. You got an 8th grade education and you think you can guess gender? What are you fucking, an Amazon woman? Yeah. What are you, in the fucking Mayans? You can't guess shit like that. You're not a midwife. You know? So, but he's a great, and you know, it's funny, like, we cleaned out my dad moved recently and we were cleaning out, his apartment, you know, to move him to the next thing, and they found some old shit, and there were these dolls, like stuffed animals that had little diapers on them, and I was like, the fuck, that's fucking weird. And then my stepmom, like my dad was around, my stepmom was like, oh, she was like, your dad was practicing how to do diapers for when she would come over,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, see, like my dad, like he would never admit that, but it's right. Like I saw what you were doing,
yeah,
you know. And he's got so many like articles, you know, he's got everything from her. He's got like anything she does, he's got a whole scrapbook. It's so, yeah.
That's great.
He's a good grand. He's like, you know, he's changed a lot about his life, now to, you know, to try to, you know, be a better grandpa and, you know, do things like he's tried to clean his act up, barring, you know, a couple of weeks ago when he ate the fucking half a tray of lasagna. But but other than that, he was really, you know, doing well on his diet and he's back on track now, you know. But
and how's your mom as a grandma?
Oh, great. My whole family, because there was a lot of animosity between my mom and my dad for years. They did not like
each other. I'm sure,
they did not like each other.
That's what I'm getting at. How are they together? So, yeah, get to it.
They did not like each other at all, my mom and dad, for years and years and years, and be real nasty. And I would that would affect me.
Mm-hmm.
And when my daughter was born, she was like, you know, they were arguing a couple of times, and I stepped in because I was like, hey, now it's like, this is like, you know, it's like that Russian doll. It's like the family gets smaller. Like, you'll always be my family. I love you guys. But like, my concern is my daughter and her mom now. Like, that's, this is my family. So I was like, if you guys want to be a part of my family, you have to stop arguing. I said, because of the arguments, if all that energy trickles into my daughter's being, I'm not going to allow it. I said, I will not let either one of you see her or be a part of her life if you're going to argue like that in front of her. And then kind of like me saying that and doing that has brought, I think, them closer together, or just the circumstances of what their new role in life is now, being grandparents. I was like, if there's going to be an issue, then you don't get the baby. So now they're close. They've babysat my daughter together.
No, I was going
to
ask.
There was one time where I was had to be gone for 4 or 5 days and my mom had to go to work. And so my dad came to the house and like relieved her and like would watch the baby. Like, so they were like handing it off. But so it's brought, you know how it is, like children, it just brings everything together. Like, if you're having family problems and they're like around a child, it's like you're thinking selfishly, because there really should be no problems, like, especially if your child's healthy and everything's all good, you know. So they're good. You know, I think it's like they got different strategies, you know, like my mom is, you know, healthy and, you know, all, you know, like she's a woman and she's very much like, you know, she needs to eat the right foods and, you know, be a woman and grow into her womanhood. My dad's just like all day has her at Dunkin' Donuts or at he took her to a racetrack. They're just eating donuts, gambling on horses. I was like, you got her at a racetrack? He's like, yeah, I told her it's the zoo. She don't know.
Yeah. She don't know.
It's fucking horses. And then I hear my daughter like, horses. I'm like, yeah, baby, horses. My dad's fucking cursing because he lost another 1,000, you know?
God, well,
what can you
damn.
Do, you know?
You had mentioned growing up too about your friends fucking with you. What was that all about?
So my friends would, it's interesting because looking back, because I got no, my actual friends, like who are still my friends to this day, like my boy Pat Finnegan, Patty Fly Balls, those guys were always just great to me. They were just like, you know, Pat Finnegan started taking Viagra when we were 16 years old. Like, they're just knuckleheads. Like, I'll never forget, dude, it was crazy. I was 16 years old. He comes in one day and he goes, yo, I'm hard as a rock right now. I just took one of my dad's Viagras. I was like, yeah, I'm hard as a rock right now, too. I'm 16 years old.
Exactly.
Like, why are you taking male enhancements? First of all, we go to an all-boy Catholic high school. So why are you popping woods around fucking our boys? It's stupid. But, so they're, you know, silly. But I had, when I was a kid, like an 11, 12-year-old kid, the guys who I thought were my friends who were 14, 15, 16 years old, and, you know, no, they were just being punks. They would fuck with me hard. Like, you know, I remember one time we were all hanging out, and they made me, you know, they would come over to my house when my mom was at work, and they ordered Chinese food, and they're like, yo, go down and get the Chinese food. And they made me dress up and, like, put my mother's high heels on, this Miami Dolphins hat, and a Speedo bathing suit short. And I went to go open the door, Chinese food, and one of these kids kicked me out of my own house and had me, like, in the cold.
Cold
for, like, an hour in my mother's high heels with a Miami Dolphins hat on. I looked like, yeah, it was fucking wild, dude, you know? And so they would fucking me and do shit like that. They would shit in my hamper, you know?
Shit in your hamper?
Yeah, dude, that was a prank they used to do all the time. These kids used to just take a shit in my hamper. And then I would go do the laundry and it would just be shit on the clothes.
Fuck.
So like, obviously those guys weren't really my friends at the time. I was like, oh, they're just razzing me because I'm young. But it's like, no, those guys are sociopaths. But what was positive about it is it internally motivated me, I think subconsciously at first, but then consciously as I started to get older, to be like better than them and show them. Like, then I started to excel at them past sports. You know, they'd always pick me last or fucking throw the ball off my head, you know, when we're playing ball. But then I just got like, started blowing by them in every part of life. And, you know, I have no problem with them now. Of course, they come to my comedy shows. They want to hang out, and I don't mind it at all because I know I don't have to deal with what they have to deal with. Like, you know, who's a fucking alcoholic, who's got, you know, a job they hate, who's still got roommates. They're 45 years old, you know, shit like that, you know, that I don't have to deal with because I took what they would do to me and I just tried to like excel past it, you know.
Is there anything like you find yourself as a dad doing that you would, what lessons or what attributes, whatever you want to call it, would you take from your dad and apply?
I think the number one thing is family first. I mean, my dad is like, he would never, even like with his wife, you know, of you know, 30 plus years, like he would always just choose me over her, you know, like he was always like, hey, you're my son. This is what it is. Nobody comes before you. So that's what I have with my daughter is like, she is number one priority is her. That, and I think the respect of my child's mother, no matter what, that respect is a big, big thing that I learned from him. And also saying I love you every day to him. I do that all the time to my daughter. Specifically, I love you, because it's weird. My dad says I love you all the time, where my mom says love you. And sometimes just removing that I, for whatever reason, for me, it fucks with me. I'm like, does my dad love me more than my mom? It's like strange. You know, I'm just sitting there with a T-shirt gun in my mouth.
You know? T-shirt gun.
Yeah. So I'm just like... So I make sure to tell my daughter, I love you, you know?
Yeah.
And also something my dad would do, like he would write me like notes and, you know, talk to me like an adult when I was a kid. And that's what I do with my daughter. I talk to her about stuff, even though she's 4 and she probably can only understand 5% of the words I'm saying. I'm like, I'm going to say them anyway, you know?
I do too. I drop story. I tell her about the past if she asks. Yeah. Like, where was Grandma Judy? I'm like, well, she left. She left the family at that
point.
She came back later, but she was gone. She's just like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you'll keep asking. Yeah, you'll get it.
Absolutely. Treat her like, and I was smoking weed with my daughter last night.
Four years old.
Fucking rolling joints in a diaper.
All right, one of the things you wanted to talk about was breakup. So was there a breakup in particular or?
Yeah, it was 2014, May of 2014, and I had gotten dumped around January of 2014. And I mean, destroyed. Like it was one of those breakups where like, it like changed me. Like I would never allow that to happen to me again and like get floored like that. I was young, I was immature, I didn't have a child yet. But I mean, devastated breakup. Like I couldn't even, like I remember... And she was in comedy, too. I remember New Year's Eve just to, like, escape everything because she had broken me at the end of 2013, so a couple of weeks before New Year's Eve. And I go to New Year's Eve with my boys in Atlantic City, and I'm like, I just want to get away from it. I want to get away from it. And they put the countdown on, the countdown, you know, for New Year's Eve countdown, and they put on MTV, and she was fucking hosting the countdown on TV. So it's like I'm trying in this nightclub, and I'm, like, trying to get away from it, and she's hosting. So I, like, remember, like, the ball dropping and, like, I was in a bathroom stall with a toilet that had overflowed like shit to the top brim.
Oh.
I swear to God, just crying, listening to my ex-girlfriend's voice that I was still in love with, counting down to New Year. And it sucked. Yeah.
That is fucking
I started off 2014 like literally in a bathroom stall with somebody else's shit, crying. And I think I got some of it on the back of my jeans, but I just didn't care. You know? So... That happens, and then I'm slowly starting to get over it. By the time we get to May of 2014, I'm slowly starting to get over it. And my boy, close friend of mine, my ex-girlfriend when she was my girlfriend, and this dude, we were like three peas in a pod. Like it was like we were so inseparable, right? So as I'm going through the breakup, I'm talking to this kid the whole time. I'm like, fuck, man, they're so sad. He's like, I don't worry about it, blah, 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 blah. And he was young. He was 18 years old. You know, I was older. So you know, he's a comedian as well. So I was like, you know, dealing with this, going through it, you know, whatever, talking to him all night, you know, he was helping me get through it. Come to find out in May, he was fucking her the whole time. So I had
while you were together?
While we were together, after we broke up, all that stuff. So that's all those, you know, nights where he was like, it was like, oh, I got to go do a spot. He was really going to hook up with the girl that I was just crying to him about. So it's fucked up bullshit.
Shit.
But I don't even hold that against him because he was 18 years old. He's a young kid. So... But anyway, the point of the story is, so I was like so low in May of 2014. Like you couldn't have, like I remember, like I was like, I don't know how I can get out of this. I lost my girl, lost my best friend. And then also in May of 2014, when I find out that my best friend, you know, did that, a week later, he gets on SNL. So it was like this thing where I was like, did I fucking fuck Why are you mad at me, Jesus? What did I do to you, man?
Yeah.
I got your name tattooed on my back. You know, I'm a Catholic kid. And I was like, what is going on? Like, you know, and then you feel like it's personal, even though like him getting on SNL is about him, you know, but it's like, or him, you know, doing that is about him. And so I was all fucked up and I'm like, I can't get out of this. And then as time went on, it got a little bit better. And then in May of 2015, fast forward just one calendar year later, May of 2015, I had signed a deal with Comedy Central. I was on a sitcom on IFC called Benders. And the most important of all, my daughter was born.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, in just a year, I went from the worst month of my life to the best month of my life. Like, so I was associating May, right? Like in July of 2014, I was like, May is always going to fucking suck. And then now I only associate May with happiness because it's like my daughter was born in that month, you know? So it was like a nice lesson for me in life. And now it's like, even now some of my friends who have went through breakups or went through hard times, I'm like, you don't understand how quickly this can change. And I didn't have that experience to give anybody that advice before I went through it. So
right.
It's one of those things where I was like, I don't regret going through that at all, even though it was extremely painful. I'm like, I am so much of a better guy now because I went through that. And now it's like, and if just how time heals all wounds, it's just like, I mean, I could literally see that girl and that guy, they could have sex in front of me and I'd hold the camera. I'm like, what do you guys need me to do? You know, like I couldn't care less about, you know, I couldn't care less. And I could genuinely just be happy for them in whatever endeavors they have. So it's strange how your brain, it's all chemical. That's what I've learned love and all. It's like that shit is just chemical, man. Like the love I feel for my daughter feels like it's from a higher power, feels like it's some universe moment. I don't know what it is, but I know it's real. Where everything else is just like, oh, these are just little chemical tricks in my brain. It's like, you know, when now my boy was going through a divorce and he's like, man, I want to get out of this. Like, you know, like he's like, I can't escape this mental pain. I was like, bro, just drink water. Drink as much water. You just pee out those chemicals, man. The more water you drink, you're going to pee out these breakup chemicals. It's fucking science,
breakup
dude.
Breakup chemicals.
It's just drink, man. All you got to do is pee. That's what I tell people now. Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say, like, do you see any of your dad in you that you're like, as parenting? Have you seen any of that?
You know what? I don't see really much of my dad.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Add in me as in parenting, I see my mom a lot, like hyper anxious about stuff certain times.
Like what?
Like just being like, you know, everything, like needing to know like every single thing that's going on, like with my daughter at times, like not having faith in her mom. Like if her mom takes her to the doctor, I'm like, I need to call the doctor. Or if her mom's like, she did her homework, I'm like, I need to call the school and make sure the homework is done. And that's coming from my mom because she's very much like German, like educated, like this will be done.
Yeah.
And I realized, and that would piss my father off, you know. He was like, yo, you need to trust me as a parent here. And sometimes I find myself not, you know, subconsciously like not trusting her as a parent. It's like, that's her mom. Like, you know, it's even more from nature. It's even, she's even closer to, she's
I've
the only
been,
person
I've
in my
made
life
the same mistake
that before, is closer to my daughter than me is the mom, because like she came out of her body. So I can check myself now, and when I realize I'm doing it, I'll usually, like, you know, let some time go by and send an apology text. Be like, hey, I'm sorry, I was getting a little crazy. I just, you know, I have a fucking hyper anxious mom and my dad was in jail when I was a kid. So there's issues that come with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's issues that come with me.
Yeah. So, but That's what I would say. I would say it's not really my dad. I see my mom. My dad, you know what? Because my dad was a gambler. My dad gambled a lot with, you know, money. And, you know, that's what caused the initial breakup with him and my mom, is he gambled some, like, savings that they had. And he was always gambling.
Was it always the horses or anything?
Horses, sports betting. Oh, that's, even to this day, my dad's like, you will never learn. Like, I don't know. I know I look like the kind, and all my friends know how to do it, but, like, when people gamble on sports and talk about parlay and betting and all that, I don't know what those terms even mean, because my father insisted. He was like, I don't care if you could do fucking heroin. Just do not gamble. Do never gamble. Because he's like, that's the mistake that I made. And so I was like, oh, I don't, obviously I never did drugs either, but it's like, I never gambled. I would stay clear of Vegas and Atlantic City. If I would go there, I would just chill in the casinos, but I don't even know how to play the games. Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, good with that. But I realized, like, there was times where, like, I gamble in other ways. You know, I would gamble, like, you know, fucking hooking up with girls.
Getting that chlamydia.
Going raw daddy, you know, doing stupid shit. Like, even having a child on the second date of someone, all that was gambling.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
In a way. So I know that about myself now. So now it's like, I check myself in that way. It's like, yeah, I'm never going to pick up a card game. I have no interest in doing that. I do love girls, though. So it's like, you got to, like, you know, be smarter. But that's why I've, you know, trying to make bigger changes in my life, you know, just, I'm not chasing it anymore. I'm just trying to look for something that's more long lasting. And, you know, people grow. I mean, you know, I'm definitely going to try to have sex with a woman tonight, though, because talking to you makes me horny.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
What about some other breakups? Have you ever had, like, an embarrassing breakup or just...
Not really an embarrassing breakup. I was on a date once with a girl, and I thought things were going well, man. I really thought things were going well. It's like 2 years ago, and my daughter was already born, yeah. And we were having a good time. We're in the back of a cab in New York City, and the cab's slowing down to get in, to stop at a red light. So he's going about 10 miles an hour, and the woman opens the door and rolls out of the back of the
cab. Come on, dude. I swear to God, dude.
She was on her phone, and it was just like, peace, and just rolled down 3rd Avenue in Manhattan.
The cab driver
stopped, and we were like, what the? And, like, I opened the door, and she starts fucking sprinting down 3rd Avenue. I said, yo, it was crazy. And then sent me a text, like, 12 hours later. She was like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have left like that. I'm like, what? Yeah.
No shit.
What the fuck? You know? And I'm like, did I do something wrong? And she was like, nah, it's all me. You're a good guy. And I've played so many scenarios in my head, like, what did I do? Did I say something? And then, like, my dad, like, I told my dad that story. I'm like, did I say something or whatever that is? He's like, you know what it was? You know what? He's like, you know what I bet you it was? She had to take a shit.
You know what?
That's what he said. He's like, if I'm removing emotions and he's like, I'm a 72-year-old guy, the girl had to take a shit.
He might be spot on, actually.
He's like, and listen, after you roll out of a moving vehicle, it's hard to come back from that. You know? He just breaks it down as he's just sitting there eating Oreos. He's like, you know, watching the game.
He's still eating the Oreos.
Yeah, he's like, she had to take a shit, and, you know, that's it. It's embarrassing. And you move on to the next chick. No biggie, Chrissy. He always calls me Chrissy.
Yeah, Chrissy.
No biggie, Chrissy.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
That's
probably actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know what I love about your dad is, like, he's so, it's all about principle.
Yes.
For him. Like, what other stories do you remember of, like, did he ever get into it with coaches or anything like that? Or
coaches, he was constantly, he was the dad that was thrown out of games religiously, you know? Like, thrown out of games for no reason. I mean, he would get thrown out of CYO, you know, it'd be 11.
Was he yelling at the umps, the coaches, everybody?
Dude, I remember one time, he was my baseball coach, right?
I was going to ask him.
And I was up at the plate. And I was probably 10, and I got hit by a pitch, and I fell down, like, at the plate. Like, I fell down, and, like, I wouldn't get back up, and my dad was, like, waiting. And then I'm, like, waiting for my dad to come, but my dad won't leave the dugout because he's, like, go to first base. And I'm, like, whimpering. I started to, like, cry. So my dad is, like, comes out. He, like, gets me at home plate, and he's, like, walking me to the first base. And he's, like, stop fucking crying. He was, like, you're embarrassing me. Stop crying. Stop crying. And I'm like, yeah.
How old are you?
I was like 10 years old. You know, I had like a big welt on my arm for like a week. He was like, stop crying. He was like, I got to talk to your mother. He goes, because I used to watch that movie Little Women. And I don't know.
Yeah, my mom and my aunt.
That's what he said. He's like, have you been watching Little Women again? He's like, and I swear to God, I remember he said to me, he goes, I told your mother to not watch Little Women on days when you got a game.
On days when you have a game.
Yeah, because it will fuck up my emotions. Yeah. Yeah, I swear. So I remember, man.
On days when you have a game.
I'll never forget. He said that. And then he yelled at my mom about it. He's like, dude, stop showing him Little Women. Yeah, because I was fucked up. And then my mom would always be like, oh, my God, Tony, you know, relax. Yeah, he was crazy. Yeah, I mean, he is a crazy guy.
Shit. They would throw him out, though.
He got thrown out of games. He got thrown out of basketball practices, you know. But he was the dad, like, especially when I was playing college ball.
That's what I want to ask. What about high school and college, like when you matter, you know?
High school and college, he was always there, especially college. I mean, he would travel, you know, if we had a game, you know, the college was in Brooklyn. If we had a game in Western Pennsylvania, that's a 5-6 hour drive. I mean, we're staying overnight. Nobody's parents is coming. It'd be a Wednesday night game or whatever. Nobody's parents are coming to that. Like, we'll be back. My mom certainly wouldn't come, and my dad would be there. He'd just get a Holiday Inn somewhere. Maybe sometimes come with his wife, sometimes come with his friends, sometimes come by himself. Sometimes he wouldn't even tell me. He would just be in the stands because he had this yellow and blue Columbia jacket. And I would be, and you would always know, even if it was like a packed game, like, and you couldn't really make him out, you would always be able to hear him. Like, if something happened, because he would always yell, he would always curse, you know? Yeah, and it was like crazy.
Show us your bush.
Show your bush. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he, you know, he would yell like fucking, you know, crazy shit. But he's, it's one of the things about my dad is like everybody loves him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everybody's his friend. Like, he's one of those guys, like, even when he, in the neighborhood I grew up in, so he didn't grow up, he would come in into that neighborhood to pick me up and take me to games, and, you know, he lived on Staten Island.
Your mom's
Brooklyn.
Neighborhood.
My mom's neighborhood. Everybody knew him there. He knows more people in my mother's neighborhood than my mother does. Like, because everyone's like, you know, he's just like, guy, he's talking, he's always like, you know, what do you want, you know, saying hello to everyone, did you lose weight? You know, he just fucking knows how to schmooze and bullshit. So I feel like, as far as comedy goes, you know, because he knows nothing about comedy, you know. But I remember when I first started doing it, he was like, you know, Chris, he was like, you're funny enough. That's what he would always tell me. He's like, you're funny enough. He's like, but I think the bigger thing is, he's like, people like you. He's like, you got a likable face. You smile. He said, I think that'll get you further. He's like, everybody's fucking funny, you know. He's like, and, you know, he says, you know, because he doesn't care about politically correct terms or anything like
clearly.
That. You know, he's like, any fucking retard can tell a joke. That's what he said to me. You know, like in public, we were on the subway.
On the subway.
I swear, he was like, any fucking, you know, they can all tell jokes. I mean, you give a kid fucking anybody, you know, they'll all do it. But not everybody could be likable. So he's like, I think that's what you got going for you. But he's like, that's natural. He's like, you're just a good kid. So I was like, oh, thanks.
What would you say was the time you were most embarrassed by him?
By my dad? Most embarrassed by him? There was a time I told it on the last podcast, I guess, when on the Crab Feast podcast, when on 9/11, when I hit a kid in the head with a chair because I thought my mom was dead, and my dad came into the principal's office and threatened to kill him, but I mean, really did. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'll fucking kill you. It was like, Chris, lock the door.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. And he's a priest,
and
right?
He told the principal, who's a priest, he said, I'm going to give you two options right now.
I love it.
He goes, the second option's really going to suck for you. He goes, you know, I'd suggest taking the first one. And then he said, listen, first option, you're going to put my kid back in school. The second option, I'm going to come over there. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And I'll never forget, he said, I'll break both your kneecaps. He said, you're going to think that I learned that line in a movie. He's like, I'm one of the guys they write the movies about. I'll never forget, he said that. And then he said, I'll call 911 right now. He said, I'll tell the police where I live, what I'm about to do. I'll leave it on speaker as I'm doing it. He said, because I'd rather go to jail for the rest of my life than you throw him out of school and me have to listen to his mother's fucking mouth for the rest of my life. And then he said, I'd rather be in prison with my friends.
My friends.
So it's
yeah,
your
that's
choice.
My...
And then he sat back down. So that was pretty embarrassing. Yeah. But, you know, right intention, wrong move. It's like one of those things. He just wanted to keep me in school for my best interest in my education, and he did that. I was allowed to stay in school.
But were you a good student when you were – I mean, what'd you graduate with?
You had to
be good enough to play sports, though. So what are you – what's that, a 2.5?
2.5. I probably had a 2.5. But okay. high school and even undergrad, academics were just like – you know, my mother was on me about doing them, and I would do them, but it wasn't like – you know, I wasn't top of my class at all. It was – when graduate school came along, for whatever reason, something clicked inside of me. I guess my academic potential that my mom always thought I had.
So you went through, you did your 4 years of college.
Yes.
All at where, Brooklyn?
St. Joseph's College in Brooklyn.
Okay. Yeah. And you played ball 4 years?
All 4 years.
So where, so talk to me about.
3 years I played.
That's right,
yeah,
3 years.
Yeah.
So how do you go, because I want to hear about playing in Europe, but also how do you go get your, like how are you doing those things?
So after I played, after my senior year in college, I went and I played and tried out for some overseas camps and I got recruited to play. I played 10 days.
Okay.
I had a 10-day contract, but I was in those camps. Like I would come back, you play in a camp in Ireland, played in a camp in Turkey, played in a camp there. Then I played in the USBL, which was like a semi-pro league in Brooklyn. All those tryouts, all that stuff.
You're that good, huh?
When I, well, the thing when was basketball was my it, life. Yeah. The energy I put
you're
in.
Guard?
Guard, point yeah. guard, yeah. But I could shoot, you know, threes. I'm shooting over Leroy. Over Leroy.
Yeah, fuck it.
So I could just shoot threes. And Chris Mullin is my favorite athlete of all time, so he could shoot, I could shoot. You know, that's what I – well, no, I can't shoot as good as him, but I would. That's what I wanted my game to be. So, you know, after getting cut the second time, I hurt my ankle. I was like, you know, I gave up a little too early. Sometimes I do regret that. I'm like, I should have kept pushing to play more ball, but I don't regret it now because I love what I do in my career now in comedy. But I was like, you know what? I want to work around athletes. I want to stay part of sports. So how can I do that? And then I applied to some physical therapy schools. I went back. Took some prerequisites, some night classes. You have to take chemistry and physics and all that. You know, it's a doctorate level program. So
I wanted to do it for a while. I the whole reason I graduated with a Bachelor of Science instead of Arts in Mass Comm is because I started off wanting to do physical, and I took human anatomy and physiology all that shit. Yeah, and then I was like, I couldn't hang.
It's crazy. You know, anatomy and physiology is crazy because it's like, you know, when you do that, especially at the graduate level, like you have to work on cadavers, like actual.
Yeah, we were doing sheep brains.
Oh, yeah. See that? So we did all that. But then like when you get to the cadavers, like the human bodies, it's like crazy. But it gets to, it's so wild, the human mind. Because like remember the first day, like I was puking. Most students
were
puking. Yeah. But then by the 6 week, dude, by the 6 week, we had a practical. The final exam.
Your dad's Oreos over top those motherfuckers.
I swear to God. Yeah. The final exam. This is a true story. The final exam, me and my lab partner, Rich, we were working late to the night, and we were man hungry. So the cafeteria was open 24 hours. So I got, all they had was fettuccine Alfredo. So I got fettuccine Alfredo, and I was eating it while we were studying over this dead body. And then I didn't know, but a fettuccine noodle had fallen.
Nah.
A little one had fallen into the cadaver. Fast forward the next day at the test. He had pinned the doctor's name was Dr. Futterman. He had pinned down a piece of the small intestine to, you know, that was like one of the questions on the test, like, what is this? And you could see, like, right next to it was that fettuccine noodle. Dried up. And Rich looked at me. He was like, that's a fettuccine. And I was like, wow. And I could see certain students looking at it, like, because I was fucking them up. I was like, that's not part of the small intestine. But so it's interesting how your mind just, you know, is able to accept shit. But, you know, I want to work with athletes. I want to stay around athletes. So let me do physical therapy. And then I started working in outpatient orthopedic after I got my doctorate and my license. And, like, you know, people come in bitching about, like, I have a pulled muscle in my pinky or my toe hurts. And I was like, I can't fucking do this. So I started to work. I got a specialty in pediatrics and I became a pediatric physical therapist.
Really?
Yeah, working with, like, mentally and physically handicapped kids. And that job is extremely gratifying because you're actually making a difference in this child's life.
Yeah.
Teaching him or her to sit or stand from a wheelchair or walk upstairs for the
great,
first time,
dude.
Or pick up a ball. Like, they don't have those motor functions. So, you know, school in New York. So I did that for 2 years. And then I was simultaneously doing comedy. And it got to a point where I was missing days to, like, go on the road or appear on the radio and do stuff like that. And, you know, I felt like it was unfair. It's like, you know, these children, like, you can't mess up their routines like that, especially the ones who are, you know, have autism or other, you know, certain disorders on the spectrum. It's like you can't fuck with their schedule like that. So when I call out, got to get a substitute, and he or she doesn't know the routine. And so I was like, I need to pick one. And I was like, you know, I want to do comedy, but I still go back and visit the kids. You know,
do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That I work. Some of them now, most of them actually now have graduated to a new, like, a high school level program. But, you know, stay around, keep in touch, you know, the kids that can communicate on social media that allow them to talk, you know, whatever they want, you know. It's great because you bond with those kids. And it's interesting, too. I'm happy that I worked there because it's like these lessons where, like, you know, man, a 5-year-old kid or 6-year-old kid that's wheelchair bound, like they're as they think like adults. Like, you know, all the little bullshit problems that our kids have, it's like they don't care about that. Like they'll just be like, yeah, I just wish I could take one step, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't. And even actually, it was crazy. Even when I was going to leave physical therapy to go pursue comedy, I was talking to this one kid who was very high functioning. He had cerebral palsy. Cognitively, he was great, but he just, you know, he had no use of his legs. So he was in a wheelchair all day. And it was cool because, like, you could convince him that, you know, he was like, oh, I want to walk. I'm like, you don't want to walk, dude. You fucking, your legs are wheels. You're like an X-Men. And then so that's part of the job too with the kids. Like, be like, yo, what you have is cool, because you have to accept it. He's not going to be able to walk. So you have to tell that kid, like, hey, just get comfortable. And your legs are wheels. It's dope. So I was telling him, we were throwing a ball back and forth. And I was like, oh, I think I'm going to leave. I'm struggling if I'm going to leave physical therapy to go do comedy. And he was like, what's the struggle? And I was like, oh, you know, and it's wild that I even started talking to him. He was 6 or 7 years old. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't want to leave you guys. You know, I was like, I love this job. I love this career. But, you know, I love comedy, too. He's like, isn't comedy your dream? And I was like, yeah.
He's like, 6 or 7.
I swear to God, that's what I'm talking about. Like, when you talk, they're so focused because they're not worrying about the bullshit. They're not distracted. They're like, he was just like talking to me as a grown adult would. And he was like, I think you should go for it. If it's your dream, you should go for it. And I was like, what? Are you serious? Like, you're a kid. Like, you have applesauce on your shirt. You
know? Yeah.
And he was like, I think you should go for it. Maybe you'll never get another chance again. You should go for it. He's like, we'll be here. He's like, if you get on TV, we'll ask, you know, one of the teachers, Mrs. D, we'll ask Mrs. D to put it on TV. And I was like, I was like, oh, let me just, I just got to use the bathroom, fucking bawling my eyes out, crying. It was amazing.
Wow. You
know? So, yeah. So working with those kids, that's a huge part of everything I've done in my life too, because you just learn how to be an adult.
I love that, you know? Empowerment thing. I got hired a while back to produce this piece for Microsoft, and one of the things that they were doing was these 3D printers were printing prosthetic limbs for these kids.
Sure, hell yeah.
And what they did instead of just making this weird looking thing was they decorated it with like Iron Man or Marvel superhero shit.
Right.
And what that ended up doing was empowering the kids, because instead of a ooh, 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 it became, oh, that's cool. What is that? And these children would then come over, talk to them on the same level and learn about their disability, exactly, as opposed to being scared of it, ignorant to it, and, and making fun and rejecting it because they don't understand it.
Yep. Yes.
And I was fucking, I was like, that is fantastic.
That's where like that whole debate right now is with education. It's like inclusion or exclusion. Like, you know, would you put a child, you know, in a wheelchair or that has like some of these problems, would you put them with regular able-bodied children, or would you put them in, you know, District 75, it's what it's called in New York City, which is for the handicapped children? And I was always an advocate. I was like, put these kids in with all the other kids. Just don't
try to be in life with these other people.
It's like, you're not going to be able to put, there's no District 75 jobs. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to go out into the real world. So do it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a state by state thing with which states decide to do and which states don't.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on here. You're fucking awesome.
Thanks for having me, man.
I love you, dude.
I love you. I'll kiss you on the lips right now.
Well, you got chlamydia. You can stay right over there.
That's true. I don't think I have it in my mouth. Maybe I do.
You might have it in your throat, bro. You might have it in your throat.
Yo, probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Advice to your 16-year-old self.
Please. Advice to my 16-year-old self?
Yes.
Advice to my 16-year-old self. Now, you're saying it doesn't have to be specifically me, just if any...
You go back to your 16-year-old self, and you can say whatever you want. You can say, hey, when you're 40, dot, dot, dot. It can be, or it can be, hey, next week, whatever. You can be 60, you can be whatever you want. You're just dropping this on your 16-year-old self.
I would say if I could some advice to my 16-year-old self, I would say to him, if it's not going to matter in 5 months, don't give it more than 5 minutes of your time.
Stupid. I like that.
I would say accept things as they are, not as you wish they were. George Washington was famous for that. He was able to accept things as they are, not as he wishes. And I would say another Winston Churchill quote that I love. I would say success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. I would say that.
That's great.
And then, and then of course, pull out, glove up. You know what I mean? And I would just say, you know, go Yankees. Yeah. I would say those things. Yeah.
One more time, promote whatever you'd like, please.
All right, man. Thank you. All my live dates, christycomedy.com, February 28th, 29th, Hilarities in Cleveland. April 18th, Newark Theater, Newark, New Jersey, Victoria Theater, Newark, New Jersey. And then late April, we got Laugh Boston. So ChristyComedy.com for tickets, HistoryHyenas.com for all the podcasts, all our podcast stuff that I do with the great Giannis Pappas, and that's at HistoryHyenas on Instagram and Twitter.
Dude, thank you.
Thanks for having
so
me,
so much, for real.
Appreciate it, man.
I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.